Hey guys, this is Greg, and before we start the podcast, I want to give a quick shout out to a couple of our sponsors. First off, there's CSS, Centralized Showing Service. Everybody knows these guys. They've been around since 1996. CSS has a great solution to provide agents with a quick, courteous, and accurate way to schedule their showings. Kevin Hughes joined the company last year and is making some big moves and some cool hires. Recently, they announced a partnership with CoreLogic that will give agents a way to quickly access scheduling information. They can also book and cancel and reschedule showings online, deliver and receive automated showing notifications by email and text messaging, edit listing information, collect and share feedback, a whole bunch of stuff. This is all integrated with Matrix via their SSO. So big thanks to them and check them out at showings.com. And I'd also like to thank CoreLogic. CoreLogic is the makers of Organized Real Estate's most used MLS system, Matrix. They recently announced Trestle, which is basically a marketplace for listings. So if you're a broker, Trestle helps you manage listings better, your listings better. If you're a technology provider, you can use Trestle to aggregate listings for your app so you don't have that expense anymore. If you're an MLS, Trestle helps you manage all your data relationships. Recently, they announced Trestle achieved RISO Platinum certification, so that's fantastic. Check out the show notes for links to both these products. Also, if our listeners are interested in sponsoring the Industry Relations Podcast, please drop me a line at gregroberson@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. And now, on with the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to yet another episode of Industry Relations. This is your host, Rob Hahn. And the other host, Greg Robertson, is on the line. Greg.
Hola, Rob.
Hola, Greg. Wow, Christmas around the corner.
Yeah, it was the last day of Hanukkah yesterday, right? So we're in the final stretch here, man.
I know. And then New Year's, and finally get back to work. Although it's weird, like the end of the year is a lot busier than, you know, than you'd think.
Right? Yeah, I was saying that. It's like, it's almost like the whole thing about planning vacation. If you really want to get busy, plan a vacation. It's like all this stuff you told yourself, you know what? It's really slow. I'm going to do that then. But it never seems to slow down.
Right. But and yet the holiday season's here. So I think we should try to talk about happy things. Do you think we can manage to talk about happy things?
I'm all about love, Rob. That's who I am.
Oh, man. As we can tell from your recent run-in with the CEO of NAR recently on your blog.
It's not a run-in. I mean, you know, he wrote something and then he thought about it for 2 seconds and he was on to the next thing. I mean, that's, you know,
right.
It's nothing on his radar for sure.
So real quick, I mean, explain this blame MLS thing.
Right. It's really something, this is kind of what I said in my kind of response or a comment, but Inman News did a story about how a lot of NAR directors were under the impression that the upstream initiative was for realtors only, right? Totally understand that. I mean, RPR is their vendor and RPR is a member-only benefit.
Yeah.
And I guess there was some, you know, something said at some of the meetings where, you know, maybe somebody misspoke from RPR or somewhere else because, you know, it can be pretty easy to mix up. So Inman did this story, Andrea, always doing a good job there, about, you know, hey, some of the people didn't know that that was for everybody, not just realtor members. And if they did know that, that they wouldn't have voted yes, right? So, I mean, a good story, really. I get that. And I guess it got under the craw up there because newly appointed CEO Bob Goldberg wrote a letter out to the membership saying, hey, listen, this has always been the case. This is much ado about nothing. And then he said something kind of weird at the end that was, this article is clearly written towards a specific point of view and positioned to benefit the interests of some MLSs, right? Versus those of our members, this MLS versus the members thing. And it says, who ultimately own the listing and intellectual property data, right? So I had a number of people in the industry, like on Facebook or in email saying, you know, here's just another example of NAR kind of blaming the MLS. This is one example of like what's been happening forever.
Right.
Back in the day, it's like RPR was saying, oh, the MLSs aren't contributing, right?
Mm-hmm. They're not helping.
Dale Stinton saying the MLSs are cartel. Upstream saying the MLS vendors have been uncooperative, right? Brokers saying, you got 10 days, right? Yeah. And vendors like me are always saying, well, my products would sell better if only the MLS. It just seems like, you know, blaming the MLS has been this thing that's been just going on and on and on.
Right.
And a few people made some memes of, you know, just some random thing. It's like, blame the MLS, right? It's just, it's becoming this kind of theme. I thought it was kind of funny about this. And I remember that was, you know, a South Park episode.
Yeah, Blame Canada. Yeah.
Blame Canada. I thought it was the same thing because it's like so like just, you know, insane. Let's blame these guys, right? So I took, as I do, I took that video from the internet, downloaded it, and did a little bit of a hacking, I guess. Great. I made it say blame MLS. Yeah. I couldn't sing, but, you know, everybody got the point. I guess Bob took an exception to that, trying to explain again, this is just something that's going on. So to me, what may become of this, hopefully, is that when somebody somewhere starts to like blame the MLS, they're going to go, oh, shit. Here I am blaming the MLS. Now, you know, here's the other thing is that when there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe it is the MLS's fault. Maybe there is something here. It seems the MLS is always in the center of this. Maybe they are to blame. I don't think so, but it's just that was the kind of genesis of all this.
Well, I mean, I'm sure the truth is probably in the middle where not all MLS is the same. And kind of like commercial real estate, you know, we only pay attention to the big deals. I used to talk about this in commercial where, you know, the headlines are all about these, you know, $1 billion office towers and $600 million leases. But, you know, like 95% of commercial are little strip mall deals, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, it's not exactly like this glamorous, you know, New York City and Chicago and San Francisco, you know, big deals. Right? Similar way, when you think MLS, you know, our mind naturally goes to the big guys, right? The Bright MLS and CRMLS, Armless, all these you know, professional, well-run organizations. But fact is, the vast majority of MLSs are not those guys. You know, maybe if you're RPR, maybe if you're upstream and NAR, you know, that's where they're feeling the frustration. I don't know. But, you know, it's something that's got to get solved, something that we have to deal with. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was just curious because it was like an interesting little exchange.
I mean, the thing is, Bob's like, he knows South Park, right? So he like, I think this is more like this episode, right? So it's, he's unlike anything out there. And like, he's also, he's not afraid to get in the mix either. You and I know, and you for sure, it's like rule number one is don't comment on a blog. So I could totally appreciate where he's coming from. And, you know, it wasn't just me that interpreted, you know, his letter back that way. There's a lot of people interpret that way. But I mean, I get his point. The way that it's written here, though, does he think Andrea is a shill for the MLS? Right? I mean, but I do agree with his point that he's right. The MLS providers do not own the listing information, right? So sure, fair point. But it's vague at the very least, right? Again, he wrote it and probably thought about it for 2 seconds and went on. That guy's got way bigger things to worry about, freaking a blogger.
You're more than just a blogger, Greg.
Yeah.
You are more than just a blogger. I mean, you are a influential technorati. My upcoming 7 predictions post, because I think your impact is so big.
Oh, okay. Well,
a lot is there. All right. So this is probably our last episode of the year.
Last call for alcohol. Last call. That's what I'm
talking about. You know, we already talked a little bit about, you know, what went down this year. Anything we leave out? Anything we totally should touch, you know, before we start thinking about next year?
I don't think so. I mean, it's been a way interesting year, and they just keep getting more interesting and more interesting.
Yeah, 2017 was a big year, man. I thought about it with this like year end. We got a new CEO of NAR. We're getting a new CEO at Realogy. I think, if I'm not mistaken, John Payton took over this year, so we have new CEO there. Adam Kontos is new.
Like, I mean, Remax is supposed to make some sort of change also, right? I mean,
yeah, they brought in a new CEO. And speaking of Remax, I mean, there's something weird going on over there because they still haven't reported the Q3 numbers.
Yeah, yeah. I read that in your post regarding the Dave and what was his co-CEO's name?
Or
Adam, yeah. Him being one of the, what is it, a loan or something?
Yeah, but, it's just weird because, you know, from what it sounds like, you know, Lineker, who's a rich guy, gave Adam a personal loan. And apparently this is against their code of conduct or whatever. Okay, fine. So it's against the code of conduct. And yet that's led to them not reporting their earnings and getting warned by the, you know, stock exchange. Like, what the hell's going on, right? Like, that doesn't – the company hasn't said squat, right, since November when they announced this. But, you know, there's like law firms lining up, you know, saying they're investigating them and, you know, they're going to sue them for stock fraud and stuff. I'm like, what the – what? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
I've done a lot of business with Remax in the past. I mean, corporate, right? LLC, whatever it's called now. If anybody can read their book, Everybody Wins. It's kind of the formation of it, him and his wife, Gail. Mm-hmm. He's a maverick in the truest sense of the word. When they always talk about how they started converting to do their books even before they were public, to kind of obey those rules and getting ready for it. And then, of course, the crash came. Right. And the stories he has, who he is as an individual, have never to me made any sense of being a public company, other than maybe he just, you know, he wanted to cash out a bit, right? Could it be that they want to take the company private again? I mean, that sounds crazy, but again,
I mean, who knows, right? Who knows? But even if you'd want to take the company public, like my big thing is they skipped reporting earnings. As a public company, that's a pretty big deal. You know, you don't get to just kind of tell them on your own time. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to make a report. And they skipped it. And, you know, supposedly the board is investigating this allegation of wrongdoing. And I'm like, what wrongdoing? I mean, he loaned Adam some money, right? Apparently, it's against the code of ethics. Fine. Like, pay a fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, go sit in a, you know, hour-long, whatever, code of ethics seminar. Like, why are you delaying earnings?
It's like there's something a bit more
there.
Yeah,
it's weird. I mean, so the fact is, like, you're right. I feel like Liniger, like, just as an individual, man, he's one of the most interesting people, not just in real estate, in the world. Like, the guy's a Vietnam vet. You know, he flies jet airplanes. He's gone scuba diving all around the world. I mean, obviously, he's older now, and you know, he's been sick, but he's not doing that much now. He's a superstar.
Dude, he came back from death, He was on the deathbed.
The guy is amazing.
He's a rock star, man.
So, you know,
they will not make him like him anymore, for sure.
The whole thing just made very little sense to me. So, you know, in a way, what's interesting is what's going on over there. Because imagine something really, you know, did go down that they're not letting us know. And it comes out at some point. You know, it's a stock manipulation or, you know, like I mentioned, maybe it's a like another Me Too thing, right? Maybe it's a sexual misconduct thing. I mean, that's huge. That's going to reverberate throughout the industry, probably for years to come. Yeah, I feel like the only thing we might have missed in 2017, and I'll be honest, like I actually didn't see this until very recently, is Facebook's entry into real estate.
You know, that was right on my list. I didn't know whether I wanted to save that for the predictions or now, but let's talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, the guy, I think his name is Mike Delpriti or Delpriti.
Yeah, no, fucking interesting. Great post.
Really wonderful post. Yeah. You know, talking about Facebook versus Zillow and really kind of, you know, digging into it. I loved it.
What he did so great that I loved about it is that he put everything in really, really simple terms. So, you know, an idiot like me can understand, but this whole notion of match versus search, where Zillow is this window shopping experience. You're looking, you're exploring, you're kind of aspirational and whatever else. And really Facebook, due to really not having that many listings really right now, is more of a match thing. It's not you're searching, it's just going to serve them up for you, right? What's going to happen, right? What's going to happen because of that? Who's going to win? Right. And he makes some arguments of why Facebook should do this and why Zillow should do that and what they both shouldn't do. He's been one of my favorites for a while here. He's written some very-
His open door
great posts. Exactly.
No, I think he's probably right on, you know, and- If you think about it, it's a real threat. And I do think that the whole search versus match thing is less of an advantage. Because the way he puts it is that the portals still have an advantage, right? Because they have, you know, a lot more listings. And if you're, you know, realtor, if you're Redfin, then you have all the listings. But I don't think it's as big an advantage in the sense that all of these, at the end of the day, they're trying to send a lead to an agent. I mean, that's how you get paid. Like none of these guys are, except for Redfin, none of these guys are actually trying to sell a house. You know, they're trying to generate a lead, an inquiry. You could generate an inquiry by having something pushed to you. And then whoever the agent is on the other side goes into the MLS and says, okay, here's all the inventory that's available. And so I actually think this is a pretty big deal.
The thing that jumped out at me about the article also was this report in 2017 from Burrell, those guys that do a lot in this industry, that agents, quote, are more likely to buy ads on social media than any other platform of digital media, including listing portals. Mm-hmm. Right. So basically saying they're more likely to advertise in Facebook to become a premier agent. And I totally believe that, right? Because agents, you know, they're absolutely are on Facebook all the time, right? So I can totally see why they would want to do that.
But, you know, I think that particular one, though, is a little bit misleading. Because you remember Zillow, you know, went away from selling to everybody, like intentionally. You know, I mean, they got rid of the low cost, you know, advertising options. They're really focusing on the, you know, the high-end premier agents that's, you know, spending like $5,000 or more a month with them. And I know like Spencer's talked about it in like previous earnings calls and whatnot, and publicly like at conferences where he said, you know, one of their biggest problems is response time. Because it sucks, you know, as a consumer, you make an inquiry and you wait 2 days to hear back from somebody.
Well, they're fixed that with their concierge. I mean, they basically just had to hire give agents, every agent in the country or premier agent, of an assistant to call those leads, right? So they had to fix that themselves.
And that went a long way towards it. But what I'm saying is, and this is the difference, like Zillow is trying to be real estate. You know, they're trying to brand themselves as real estate. So if the consumer, you have a crappy experience, then, you know, you don't blame the agent, you blame Zillow. Like, oh, that website's useless.
Right.
Facebook, nobody's going to do that, right? You know what I mean? Like if I get an ad pushed to me on Facebook, I click on it, I fill out some form, and the agent doesn't get back to me in 48 hours, I'm not going to sit there and go, Facebook is useless. You know, it's Facebook. I think I read an Inman article that talked about a $750 spend. Some agent, you know, spent $750 and got six deals and hundreds of leads from it. That makes sense. And Facebook can take that type of ad, one time $750, whereas I don't feel like the portals can really do that.
But, you know, I've always had a little bit of a problem with Zillow's, and you know, and these guys are hugely successful, so this house knows how much I know, but you know, this kind of leaving the rest behind, this long tail of agents that are, you know, I would say in the aspirational category, right? And I think companies like Playster are going after those, and Facebook in a sense is going to take up that. And I think, you know, you add all those long tail agents that aren't the superstar super agents or super teams, there's still a lot of money there. You know, those aspirationals, I think, are still a lot of money on the table there. And I'm sure Facebook and these others will be more than glad to take those dollars off.
I'm sure they'd be more than happy. But that actually leads us into, okay, given that, what do you think is going to happen next year with Facebook, with all these things?
I think like his post said, I think they're just going to keep growing and growing, right? And if they could figure out a platform, like, you know, just I was thinking about this when I read it. They buy a syndication feed from ListHub. Now they got a shit ton of listings. And they create a product so that it's almost like a IDX product that now you have an agent that can buy an ad and it'll serve up their listings on there automatically for them, right? Or serve up, you know, some sort of IDX platform. There's another company out there that was doing this, but they can't remember the name right now, but they had an IDX product for Facebook, but it went away and it became something else. But, you know, there might be something there to do that. I read somewhere, I think Wave Group is a consultant to Facebook.
Right.
Too.
Right.
So who knows?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That particular strategy is probably not going to work for Facebook because, you know, they're not in the business of like trying to attract a whole lot of traffic, you know, saying, hey, we have all the listings. Like that's not their play. They already have all the traffic.
Well, no, but it's just giving the agents a tool, something simpler for them to do, right? And it's like, you want to do an ad. Are you a member of one of these MLSs that we have the feed for? We'll automatically serve up your ad.
But that's the question, right? I'll put it this way. In 2018, do you see either an MLS or a very large, you know, broker or franchise doing a direct syndication deal with Facebook?
Yes.
That to me is a game changer.
And again, ListHub has, you know, there's already some major franchisers that do feeds with them.
Well, and the thing is, whoever does it would have to build some sort of an advertising dashboard type of thing. Because, you know, like Zillow, you just send them the listing, right? There's not a whole lot of targeting that happens with Zillow. You just upload the listing. With Facebook, you have all these targeting options. And if you looked at some of the page, if you go into dynamic ads, like look at some of the ways to do it, it's like, this is clearly written for developers. So maybe that's something for you guys over there at WNR to look at. You know, there has to be a way of just kind of push buttons or, you know, making it easy for an agent or a broker to target, you know, this particular ad. Because again, it's going to get pushed.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's going to be searching for it. It'll get pushed.
Kind of go into more services oriented.
Yeah. So Facebook, if they get a syndication, all it does is, and I think in the way they talk about it, is it creates a quote listing catalog. And then the agent has to go in and select whatever and say, push this to buyers in my zip code, you know, looked at a home, you know, did a real estate search in the last 17 days. You know what I mean? Like it has to get really specific like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we do something with one of our products called Cloud Attract, which is a landing page. But, you know, we're saying you can put on your business page on Facebook, but, you know, you can boost that post and it gives you all that kind of targeting stuff. But it's nothing that we're facilitating for them, right? I mean, we make tools. We're not a services company.
But yeah, I mean,
but there's a lot of companies out there that does.
Somebody does a direct syndication deal with Facebook next year.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Connected to that, do you think Amazon gets into the game?
I try to review their strategy now. Of course they do. The whole CVS deal was announced and then you started hearing they're going to go into pharmaceuticals, right? Why not? It'll be a little bit more of a different spin on what's going on now, right? I don't know what that can look like, but I mean, I'm sure somebody's over there thinking about that. I mean, just look at the capital. We talked about this last time, but the capital that's being poured in this industry. Everybody thinks this is like almost the last frontier of disruption in a sense, right? Like these damn agents and this damn technology is so old. It's just somebody's going to figure it out. So I got to believe not only the VC money, but the existing incumbents right now are looking at trying to figure out a way to better this experience that people have.
Oh, I have to think they are.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, you have to think that.
I don't see that happening next year for them. I think what we've been reading about Facebook, they'd have to be a little bit farther along. So I wouldn't say there would be any predictions about Amazon furthering their real estate ambitions as like a big deal with somebody.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I actually think Amazon probably does unveil that hire a realtor thing that they sort of mistakenly put out there.
Right.
I don't know that those guys have figured out like a business model for them. With Facebook, it's easy, right? You know, you just sell ads. Whereas Amazon doesn't sell ads, it sells product. So it'll be interesting how they roll that out. I have a feeling they'll do something somewhere.
Right.
What do you think happens in the MLS and association space next year? What's your top prediction?
I think consolidation continues. Actually, somebody just forwarded me a note, an MAU. Okay. You're the lawyer. What the hell does that mean? Mutual acceptance, something or whatever, that the North San Diego and Pacific Southwest or the other board down in San Diego were going to join CRMLS. Right. So they were trying to get their MLS system kind of synced up and there was like some sort of data share, but now it looks like it's starting to kind of unwind Sandy Court in a sense there. That's the last hurrah there. And then of course, we read about the Iris and RE Colorado things. So I think that kind of traditional consolidation where MLS companies merge and to become a bigger one entity. But then I think you're going to see the rise of these kind of virtual MLSs or data shares or whatever you want to call them. You know, Grid would be an example of that, where MLSs get together on a common database with a common cooperation compensation or whatever that they can provide their brokers and whoever else a single way into kind of look at all those listings without actually having to merge their businesses, right? So I think you'll see a lot more of those kind of announcements out there. Okay. There was that thing right now. Well, Grid would be the one that I kind of have been hearing about.
Yeah, I thought Grid, though, was essentially just like, it's common database. I don't know if they decided to do a common rule set or not.
I don't know either. I think all of them will be a little bit different.
But, idea is it's common API, so that developers could just develop against the API and then have it work across what, 6, 7, however many there are in that.
Yes. I mean, they use the Rezo data dictionary, and that's what they committed to.
I didn't think it was about like common offer or cooperation. I didn't think it went beyond that. Do you know what I mean? Like it felt like, let's get listings out there. It's an outward bound API. It's not an inward bound, as far as I know. So
No, you could be right. I'm just saying those are the different kind of like checkboxes, and some will have them and some will not.
I think that's probably pretty valid. I hope to see, the first truly hostile takeover of an MLS next year.
Well, don't you think the RE Colorado and Iris one?
I don't think it's truly that hostile, though. I mean, it's an inquiry. Hey, we want to buy you, right? And then go back and forth. I'm talking about truly hostile, where somebody says no, and the MLS says, all right, well, then we're coming in. Because, the MLS of choice changes, it really does open up and create that environment. Hell, you just go in and go straight to the brokers and say, you know what? Join us, right? And we'll give you a 3-year discount, or we'll give you a brand new car if you join. Like there are all sorts of different ways of marketing that. I think we see that like the first one next year sometime. It might be after July, but I think we see that.
Right, the hostile takeover.
Yeah, because right now, it's like you got to go ask them and try and like seduce them into doing something with you. But maybe after the MLS of choice changes, maybe it changes. Maybe it's we're going in, try and make an offer. If you say no, going direct to your brokers, we're going to compete. We're going to head on and start pamphleting your area. Like right now, if that happens, the target MLS and their brokers association will go all pissed off. And here's California coming in here, throwing their weight around. Going forward, it's like, well, all those agents who sign a waiver, you got to let them go. What then?
Yeah. And I think there's always been that kind of like aggressive MLS that they've done where, but they're not really kind of like a hostile takeover of the organization. Mm-hmm, no, but what they do is they like, okay, well, they want to expand their territory. So they're going to open up a small office in the place they want to, right? And kind of get by luring agents with their office and some other outreach, right? What you're talking about is like, it's beyond that. It's more like they're going to hit the broker board of directors? I mean, what do you mean by hostile?
Here's the thing, though. Under current rules, even if you go in and do something like that, the target MLS can force all of the agents to pay them, right? Going forward, they can't. Going forward, let's say you approach a large, you know, 100-person office, and 40 of those agents say, you know what? I'm going to join your MLS instead. Then the target MLS has to grant them a waiver and cannot charge them.
Right. So it's really just because of MLS's choice, they can get even more aggressive on this pilfering of agents.
So it gives another arrow in the quiver if you're the acquiring MLS, right?
Yeah. I see that. I think that's good. All right. I'll give you that one.
I also think we see the first, you know, major non-contiguous sort of consolidation activity.
Right.
Again, because now there's no linkage between the MLS and the associations that own them. There's nothing that stops California, in a CRMLS, from going to Topeka. Nothing stops Bob Hale from saying...
Well, they have to be licensed in both areas, but
The agent does. But we know multi-state MLSs already exist.
No, totally.
MLS, so of course. It's not that difficult. It's just a matter of, you know, saying, hey, we're going to go into this area. So I could see that happen.
I think that's brilliant because when I was living in South Florida in Boca Raton, everybody I met there was from like New Jersey.
Right.
So I'm like, why isn't like the New Jersey MLS and the Palm Beach MLS merge? Right. Because they're all moving here anyway, bro. But, you know, right. A lot of Canadians too. Right. So, you know, we can go multinational.
But think about this,
so.
Right? I mean, to me, the company that actually should be happiest about this is HAR. Because they have something that nobody else has. They have this amazing website that actually generates real leads and real traffic. What is it? A couple years ago now, and they changed the name from Houston Associates to like Homes and Realtors, right? And they're trying to make HAR to be like a Texas portal.
Yeah.
Dude, now it's not that hard for HAR to go, our service area is Texas, right? So if you're in the Rio Grande Valley, you can join HAR, right? You can join the MLS and get all the benefits as a member. I mean, nothing stops them.
Right. If they're very strong in Houston, I mean, if they're not that strong in Midland, that's not going to be such a draw to bring them. But if they can expand that footprint of that site and then really leverage that value proposition, yes. But I don't think they're there.
Or frankly, though, even without the website, I mean, the MLS side of HAR is really pretty strong. I mean, they have top-notch products. The premium tier is quite valuable. So if you're some agent out in Midland and you have the opportunity to join HAR, why wouldn't you at least think about it?
Right. I mean, assuming that they get some, that the listings are there, of course.
I mean, in my prediction, I'm saying what's going to happen. If I'm HAR, this is what I do. I say, our service area is Texas. If you are not a current HAR subscriber, it's free for 3 years.
So just make it like, okay, what the hell? I can be a member of where I'm now and then a member there.
Just
take the long term.
And then,
term,
you know, convince more of my friends and, you know, other brokers to move on over. You know, and then at some point that flips and 51% of, I mean, I don't, you know, Midland, they're now members of HAR. Yeah, that's an easy thing. Right. I think we're going to see that type of hostile activity.
Did you tell them that?
I don't work for HAR. You know, I love them. You know, they're friends of mine, but I don't, you know, like Jeremy Conaway's got that locked down tight. So Jeremy, if you're listening, recommend it, man. Go hostile. Throw your weight around. Oh, man.
I don't know. Bob's got more of a, he's got that silver tongue, man. I don't think he'd ever go hostile like that, but he'd get it done.
Yeah. You know, the nice thing about Texas, right? That you can go hostile without seeming hostile. You know what I'm saying?
Well, isn't that nice?
You know, it's gentlemanly competition, right? Yeah. So, all right, that's cool. What about NAR? How do you think Bob does, Bob Goldberg now, in his first full year as CEO? What do you expect?
So Brad did this article about, like, you know, I guess, you know, he was getting a lot of shit because he's been writing a lot of things against NAR, but now he was praising their government affairs and things of saying that the industry, that's their best hope is having NAR there. But to me, that's a little bit contrarian because this whole tax plan that got pushed through, I mean, the whole industry just got bitch-slapped.
I agree with Brad, though. If you looked at sort of the House version and the Senate version and then what finally came out of conference, NAR won. Like, they won big. I don't know how they pulled off that magic, but they did. It actually amazed me. Like, they just pulled the bacon out of the fire at the last minute. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, to me, the two big things I saw were owner occupancy, as far as, you know, the timing, and then also the the deduction for married and single.
No,
right?
The Those big are the one is they basically made the mortgage interest deduction $750 instead of $1 million. The Senate version got rid of it entirely. Right. And the House version had capped it at $500,000. And oh, by the way, no MID for second homes. And they restored all that. I was like, how the hell did you manage that? Like Jerry G is a superhero. It is pretty amazing.
Right. But I mean, just the notion that those things were ever in play, doesn't that seem like a little bit like, you know, when those things are thrown around like that, that's not a great thing to be in, right? If that's the case, I mean, you're right. Kudos to all those guys.
Now, the fact is you can't predict what Congress career is going to do. You just can't. I mean, all those guys are trying to get reelected. So, you know, they're going to do whatever's in their best interest. But I thought for sure NAR was going to lose at least one of them, right? They won both of them, right?
You've been predicting the downfall of MID
and
forever.
What's funny about it is, as far as I know, MID has no friends. Like in the Democratic Party, in the Republican Party, it doesn't actually have any friends. Because MID, let's face it, it tends to benefit the wealthy. So Democrats don't like that. It tends to be government subsidy of the housing market, so Republicans don't like it. And yet, it keeps on surviving. And you have to say it's because of NAR. Like, there's no two ways about it.
Yeah. They've said basically, you know, this is important for housing, right? And the time may have passed for that, but they've made that such a memorialization of why NAR does a good job, that if they ever lose it, they've made such a trophy out of it that it appears like it was a huge loss, right? So- Yeah, it's a tough.
All I'm saying is, like, what they pulled off with the tax plan is nothing short of amazing. Seriously, it's amazing. So I'm with Brad on this one. I mean, NAR, you know, it's like all of those guys in government affairs, like they have earned their pay and then some. You know, with what they pulled off here.
If this gets all passed the way that you say, where they got those things in the last minute, I think that's huge kudos to them as well. I'd still be a little concerned that these guys were not afraid of like just throwing everything in there.
Yeah,
right?
But I mean, think about it. The Republicans, they have to do something. They failed on healthcare. Yeah. You know, they haven't done squat. Like, hey, you control the presidency and both houses and you've done nothing.
Nothing. Harm is what they're doing.
They have to do something, you know, and especially since next year. God, could you imagine the 2018 campaign season? Oof.
I think even if this passes, it's still going to be a bloodbath.
No, I'm just saying divided politics of it. You know, the one thing that I do find interesting, speaking of NAR's government affairs success, is you know, how is all that going to play out, you know, in our existing politics? So for example, so Republicans pass this thing, NAR decides, you know what, a number of them pissed us off, we have to punish them. So we're going to give money to their opponents or what have you. It's like the politics are so divided. It's so us versus them. You know, I know some realtors are going to sort of vote the realtor party line, but you know, you think about all the other social issues and all the other stuff, and I just don't know how that's going to play out. Which to me, I mean, I can't wait to see how that works, right? Especially next year, because there's no presidential, and NAR doesn't get involved in presidential. But I mean, think about like what went down with Roy Moore in Alabama, right? How vicious that was. So if NAR throws its support, you know, one way or the other, I mean, it's going to piss off a lot of members. Are the members going to say, it's okay because we're about realtor party? I just don't know. It's one of those things that just doesn't get talked about enough.
Well, one thing is I know at the last meeting, they had proposed a dues hike and it was, you know, specifically related to, you know, lobbying, right? So I think with this, as you say, win that they've kind of last minute did, I mean, that might have helped them make the argument like, you know, now is the time more than ever.
No doubt. Right? I think, in my opinion, I think the $25 increase on political spending goes through. I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Okay. That's a prediction.
The question
is, I totally agree,
whether they'll actually just raise the dues $25 or if they'll take it out of the RPR budget. That's the big question for me because it's about the same. Like, I think, what do they get for next year? $23 million and change?
It almost matched exactly.
Right? It matches up almost exactly. I mean, it's a little less because there's 1.3 million members, right? But it matched up almost exactly. Right. And I think that's going to be one of the more interesting things. So one of the things I'm predicting is RPR is going to be in for a fight for its life next year because of this combination, right? Dale's not there anymore. And RPR was Dale's baby.
Yeah.
Who, right? who defends RPR now? Like, who's in love with RPR now?
Yeah, but it's like some said, I mean, there was like such a carpet bombing effort at NAR. Somebody said it's like a utility over there.
What?
Who cares? Yeah.
Well, you care because it's $24 million a year.
But that's been said for years and years, and it still goes. So I
know.
Just,
I'm just saying, like, I could
see. Yeah. Here's what my prediction is. Nothing happens to RPR. Boom.
You're probably right. And what, they just jack up deduce by another $25?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Get their cake and eat it too. I mean, the economy's roaring. The industry's popping. They're going to shove everything down everybody's throat as quickly
as
they can.
So speaking of the economy, not that you and I are economists, because we're not, but what do you think happens to the housing market next year?
I think we're fine next year. I've talked to a lot of vendors, a lot of realtors, a lot of brokers, a lot of MLSs. I think we're fine next year, precluding Trump. And I would say doesn't do anything stupid, but you know, that's like, he doesn't fire off missiles or really that kind of terrorist attack, that kind of stuff. I mean, I think you're fine. I think 2019, you know, maybe towards the end of that looks a little bit kind of like a bit different. But right now, I think unlike before where this stuff was being propped up by, you know, ninja loans and some other kind of nefarious and shady kind of stuff, it's really just a matter of supply and demand, right? There's just not enough houses, enough housing to kind of put everybody.
Nope.
So, you know, that's kind of what.
So, my, I mean, you live in, you know, Orange County.
Well, yeah. I mean, coastal areas are always going to be a bit hot. Well,
that's not what I'm asking. I mean, what I'm saying, you live in Orange County, which is like ground zero for potential impact of the tax plan. So if MID drops to 750, that's a lot of money for most of the country. It's not much for Orange County.
Right.
You guys are paying the highest state taxes, which now the deducting that is going to be capped. Do you see that having any impact in kind of the, you know, the really high priced California markets? Because I could see it trickling down from there, right?
Maybe, but you know, a lot of this stuff is like, I don't know where these people are coming from, but it's all cash.
True.
Right? But you know what? I think because of some of those things, our local congressman, Rohrbrecher, he voted against the tax plan. And some of these tax issues on the property were a reason for that. So, no, I mean, it's going to have an impact. But again, people, you know, they need to live somewhere. I mean, you know, I remember buying my first condo. I think the interest rate was like 8%.
Yeah, interest rates are still low.
I mean, so there's always been something that's, you know, the market adjusts, right?
All right. I mean, I think the market slows down actually quite a bit and probably starts on the coast.
In next year, you think
because
it slows
it's already
down?
Slowing. Yeah. It's already slowing. And I think the tax plan might push it over the edge. I don't think we could have a bubble burst, right? You know, like we did in 07. But I think we see a pretty significant slowdown. Well, and we might almost say like natural cycle, right? And I think we flip to a buyer's market probably next year. At least in parts of the country. I mean, not everywhere, because let's face it, like Kansas City is still pretty damn affordable, you know? But San Francisco, like California.
You think San Francisco switches to a buyer's market next year? I'll predict the other. Coastal is different, but I mean, still, overall, you predict next year's goes somewhere at one point, it switches to buyers. I would predict the opposite.
Keeps
I think
going,
it just
maintains
keeps going.
That's where the smart money is. Brokerages. What's your prediction for brokerages next year?
Interesting. The tech-enabled brokerage model is all the rage, right? I mean, this is Compass and things like that. I think everybody's going to try to – Keller Williams has said they're a tech company now. And Realogy kind of placated Wall Street by buying Zip,
that was years ago.
It was years ago, but I mean, it helped them kind of like answer those questions, right? So I think you're going to see more of that type of – you know, a lot of it's just talk, but – so that they can kind of compete with these other things, these other brokers that are really doing this, being more tech enabled. You saw kind of a swing where a lot of brokerages in the past did their own technology and then like they discovered, well, hell, we're not really a software company. Right. They went back to vendors. I think you might be a little bit of a swing back where they might want to like invest in more of their in-house stuff. But we'll see, right? And when I say invest in their in-house stuff, maybe there's vendors that can go and offer platforms that can kind of help enable that. So that would be my prediction, is like brokerages go more towards tech enabled, or at least.
So how much money do you think Keller Williams ends up spending next year? Because they said $1 billion, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to spend $1 billion next year, right? It could be, you know, $1 billion over 10 years. It could be $1 billion over 20 years. Like, what do you think they end up doing next year?
Keller Williams.
Like, the fact is, we all already know about Redfin and Compass.
First of all, they don't really have a national presence. Nobody knows Keller Williams, right? Their site is like a hodgepodge of interconnected mm-hmm. other sites, right? So consumer facing, I just don't see it's in their blood to go too much consumer facing. So they've partnered with so many right. vendors out there.
But, you know, they did launch Color Cloud, right? They've come out and said, we're going to start yeah. develop our own technology. They're willing to spend money on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's harder than you think. I kind of think it's like, it's going to be one of those things. Well, we went down this path and we discovered, you know what? We want to go back to our core. We train agents. We do this. We empower agents. And I think they're going to try, but ultimately, I don't think okay. they're going to make it.
But they're not
as this technology company. I think they're going to go back to their roots.
They'll have to try it for at least next year, no?
Sure. Do I think there's going to be a big splash of Keller Williams, you know, cloud and that this is like a new company? No. I don't think they're going to pull it off.
I mean, at this point, I feel like betting against Keller Williams is... It's not a great idea because, you know, they've been so successful, you know. But on this one, I sort of agree with you. And not even for the reasons you're mentioning. My main thing is just like Realogy with Zip, they're going to have an agent adoption problem. So if Keller Williams goes and invests $200 million in like the greatest platform ever, I mean, you still have to get your agents to use it. That's not a given, right? Because they can't force them. They're not Redfin. I think that's kind of where they might have some issues. But then again, Compass is apparently getting all their agents to use its platform, its technology, and they're all independent contractors. So I don't know. Maybe they'll be successful. You can spend the money, but then you have to get your agents to use it. Realogy still hasn't, what has it been now? 3 years now? 2 years?
Yeah.
Like Zap platform's not exactly like what every Coldwell Banker agent in the country uses.
Yeah, and it seems to me like, and we talked about this about Redfin before, where as somebody who runs a company and has a company, culture is so important, right? Having a culture and having a culture, really. I can't really say Realogy agents have a culture, not even really RE/MAX agents, but you know, Redfin and Keller Williams, they have culture, right? So you have this Keller Williams culture that to me is like, you know what, we go here, they're going to empower us, they have some training, they have these great, you know, family reunion shows where they're going to serve us the best tech and have like-mindedness. And it's like this almost a platform that I can do anything I want as my branding and I'm an agent, this and that. And they want to change that, right? To make this like dogmatic, like here's what you, there's the cloud that you use. And here, it's just so to me, it's like,
so
man,
you
got something
their culture.
Great. They're trying to like leverage their culture, but I don't think the culture that they've built up and nurtured really is conducive with what they're trying to do by making themselves a technology company.
No, I think you're spot on. I mean, Keller Williams, you know, I know they get accused of the whole like cult thing, but it's really not, right? It's a culture of
Yeah, I mean, you know, culture, whatever. It's culture. It is culture. And none of the other brands really, besides I think Redfin, really have
I mean,
that,
I guess you could argue Compass has it now as well. You know, there's a young hip.
Oh, sure.
I think some of the lesser known brands, like Next Home certainly has a culture. EXP.
Yeah, I'm talking about, and not to diss Next Home because, I mean, they're freaking
but they're tiny,
going crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, just talk about the bigger things have been around for a while.
Right. And of them, I think KW probably has the strongest culture. It's a culture of freedom.
Yeah, and this tech is not about, in that case. I mean, sometimes I've seen it happen at RE/MAX of where, you know, we were behind the technology platform that was powering mm-hmm. that franchisor. And agents would just like, well, I'm not dealing with what my boss says.
Right.
Just for that reason. Oh, RE/MAX wants me to put my contacts in their cloud? Fuck them.
Right. And I think that's the big one, man. You know, I don't understand is how Compass, as just to use an example, right? Apparently, I mean, all their agents use that app, use that platform. So they're successfully getting the agents to put their client information into the brokerage database. That one like blows my mind a little bit because that's the thing that a lot of agents will absolutely not do. Right. Like even if the brokerage CRM is the best in the world, they're just not going to put their client information into the brokerage database because they don't trust the broker. I mean, who knows? Maybe KW actually overcomes that because of the culture, because of this agent-centric philosophy. And, you know, maybe the agents feel like I can trust them. I don't know. That's sort of the mind-blowing thing. You know, is that going to happen? I mean, we know the upstream folks, you know, that's their big thing. It's like, we want the brokers to have all the data so we could data mine it and take advantage of it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, is the agent going to give it to you? Are they really going to give you that data for you to, you know, leverage and take advantage of? I don't know. Maybe. But that becomes one of the more interesting, you know, things to watch. So finally, socially, any industry social things that you are seeing coming in 2018?
What do you mean industry social?
Not just general culture of the industry, you know.
you know, if you want to talk about consolidation again, but from the vendor space, right? So last year was a big year. Yep. I mean, Clarity got bought by CoreLogic, and you just recently saw about FBS making their first acquisition with Solid Earth. So I think you're probably going to see more of those kind of consolidations things happening in the future. I think there's going to be a lot of the companies that have come into this space, the newer vendors with some VC capital that have been going along or plugging along for a couple of years trying to make it work. You're going to see a lot of announcements of pivoting, right? For lack of a better word. Well, we came into this, we thought we would do it this way, but
we're gonna
not so easy.
Hardware,
we're going to be doing it this the other way. Yeah. So I think you'll see some of those kind of things. You'll see some companies who are going to kind of shift their model to kind of adjust to like the realities of the space. Yeah, I think there are some retirements, like you said, with the CEOs and new CEOs coming in there. So you're going to start seeing some of that new breed that are coming in, the new blood that's coming in here to start exercising their kind of personalities on stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that will start happening next year.
I think, unfortunately, next year is when Me Too hits real estate in a big way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you think there'll be a lot of revelations from different areas?
It's impossible, right? That doesn't happen in real estate. We know it happens. We know. So, you know, the fact that no one's been exposed, right? No one's been like Harvey Weinstein, like, I feel like that's going to happen. I don't know where, I don't know who, I don't know under what circumstance, but it feels like that's going to rock the industry sometime next year. And I think it's going to be some major figure that we all know and love.
There's a lot of older industry, a lot of senior people. I don't know how to say it politically. Like, there's a lot of old people in industry, right, that are used to a different culture. And this thing has been sweeping around the country, this kind of Me Too stuff. And that may kind of bite some people in the ass, right? The culture's changed so much in this country that those things are just
catch up. The thing is, like, that suggests, you might be right, like some, you know, innocent older guys, right, who are just, you know, saying shit that ain't, you know, cool anymore. Right. Or doing stuff that's just not cool anymore.
Right.
But I mean, I actually think there ends up being an actual sexual harassment, like Matt Lauer, you know, rape room, unacceptable stuff. Right. And I think it's going to come out sometime next year.
Wow.
And I don't know who, I don't know where, but I think it's going to be a big name and it's going to shake the industry. You know, it's not going to be just some random like agent in, you know, Wichita Falls, you know, sexual harasses another agent in his office. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm talking about C-level execs at a major company. Somebody's going down.
Wow. What's that? I was going to get that scoop. There's other guys out there. That
it could
get,
be, it could be the real daily, right? It could be you, right?
Well, you know, there's the tip line of Vendor Alley if anybody wants
like
to.
You think about the MLS space, like, you know, some of the shenanigans that we know go on, like it go on.
Yeah. I mean, that's every industry though. I don't know.
Absolutely. But the problem is when one of the people is like the CEO of a major MLS or, you know, board member.
Or some sort of large franchise
or tech,
right?
You know, guru or, you know, there's going to be some weird shit go down. And we know weird shit goes down right now. So it's just a matter of something coming out, right?
There's weird shit that goes on. But I think if you were like in, you know, selling tractors, weird shit goes down. I mean, it's just.
Oh, no doubt.
It's just
no every doubt. Industry no doubt. And let's face it, like the whole conference circuit, you know. A lot of it is weird shit going down between like consenting adults, you know? Like that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about some ugly stories are going to come out. And that's an unfortunate one, but I think it's going to happen.
Okay. Do we have to end on that one? We're over an hour, but we can't end on like such a downer, dude.
Yeah. Maybe I should just let off with that one, right?
No. I mean, sadly to say, it's like, I remember thinking about this a couple weeks ago. It's interesting that nothing has really rock this industry like that yet. I mean, with so many things being announced, they're kind of crazy. And here's the weird thing is like, I will get tips from Vendor Alley of like, and you can tell it's just like another employee ratting on another employee. Like I give a shit. I just immediately delete that stuff. Like, oh, this guy was at this party or on a trip and he spent this on his expense account or, you know, like who cares, right? But nothing ever, you know, as far as a C-level kind of thing has come out at all.
All right, so let's end on this.
Okay, prediction. Tech.
Who makes the biggest, most interesting splash next year among the big tech guys in our space? So we've already talked about Facebook, you know, talked about Amazon. In our space, who makes the biggest, like, wow, that's kind of cool? Because this year it was Zillow doing instant offers. I mean, that just...
Well, I mean, they're basically aping Open Door, right? But I mean, bring it into the mainstream.
Correct. So who makes the biggest splash this year?
You'd hope it'd be Compass, right? As much money as they've raised. They really kind of throw down something that's really unique as far as a tech-enabled brokerage. Tech-enabled big splash.
I'm predicting Realtor.com.
They're due. Have to. That's for sure, dude. They have that thing, RealSuite, that they've been talking about, the simplified thing. That's a good guess.
But I think
that's
it's going to be more than RealSuite. It's got to be something, you know, that gets them back in the conversation. Because we're constantly talking about Zillow, constantly talking about Redfin, constantly talking about Compass. Now we're talking about Facebook. Like, Move's been around, you know, for a long time. And they're still a big company. They got to do something. Like, nobody talks about them right now. You know, so I feel like it has to be them. I'm predicting Realtor.com and Move do something big, something eye-opening, something that's going to make the rest of us go, whoa, that's really cool.
Right, right. That's a great guess. That's a great guess.
And then second, yeah, it could be Compass. $450 million is a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
You know, I want to give a quick shout out to is I haven't read the full release, but I just saw something on Facebook like yesterday, day before. Eric over at Tribus, they did some deal with Nextdoor.
Was it a deal or are they just syndicating listings to Nextdoor?
I think they're syndicating or doing something there. Nextdoor to me is one of the apps that, because we have a pretty active kind of Nextdoor community in our neighborhood that I look at. I've always from the beginning thought there's a great real estate play there.
Yeah, so, isn't that a Rich Barton company?
No, it's not. I think he's on the board.
I thought he was a pretty big early investor in Nextdoor.
Maybe. I thought either on the board or investor, but not quite an owner. I guess investor is an owner. But yeah,
interesting. Maybe Tribus Rock makes some noise, right? And rocks the industry.
Right.
Eric, if you're listening, try to make some noise.
I've been meaning to kind of give him a shout or something, but
This sounds, I think that's a pretty decent rundown. I mean, we'll have to see next year, you know, how we did on 2018 predictions. Hopefully, you know, you're looking forward to some really cool stuff with the holidays.
Just family and friends, man. And that's exactly where I want to be.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Festivus. All to you. This has been really, really great. You know, just on a personal note, Greg, I really appreciated, you know, this whole venture with you and the friendship we have. And I guess I just really appreciate you, man.
No, you too, man. And I get so many compliments. Our instincts were correct about you and I doing something like this. And every time I go to conference or, you know, some different events, somebody just randomly comes up and says, man, I love your and Rob's podcast. So I think our goal is to do a lot more of these next year. We've been kind of back and forth with it. I think the next time I'll see you is probably going to be at Inman.
Hey,
so I'll bring
it. Let's do one. And then the thing with Inman is like, you're always so busy with clients and whatnot, but it'd be cool if we could do like a dinner one night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do a live dinner. Wouldn't that be cool? Do a live dinner party, you know, industry relations.
The audio engineer gets in my head all the time. So it's going to be a lot of clanking and dishes there. So
it could be cool. It could be cool if we pass around the mic or something, right?
You can hold the mic, I'll hold the
tiger. Think of it as like one of those like, you know, radio, sports radio guys that are doing it in a bar or something, right? We could do a back and forth with the audience. I don't know, that might be kind of fun. But in any event, definitely happy holidays, happy new year, and I will see you at Inman.
Yeah, and thanks to all the listeners out there, man. So go to iTunes and mark it 5 stars.
We don't exist without y'all.
We appreciate it.
Thank you all so much.